Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Well, hello, Shawnee Chambers. How are you
Hi.
Doing, baby? Cheers, here's to you.
Cheers! Here's to you, my dear.
I know you are here on the edge with me and my brains. Welcome, brains. You are home. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull, and I get that finger twisted all the time. Do you know where you are? Brains, let me tell you. Shawnee has no idea, but I was watching her today, and baby, she was on fire. Oh, yes. She was on fire. Shawnee is from Australia, from the land down under. I just love it down there. She does so many things. She has a hypno business, which is really cool. She is into energy work. She's into time. She's into space. She's into people. And she's also into the fifth dimension. We'll talk about that. Oh, yes. She's a trainer. She's a coach. She hosts retreats. She's a public speaker. And she had a very trying time during her adolescence between 6 and 13. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about that here on the edge. And we're going to talk a little bit about epigenetics. I keep bringing it up because people are searching and seeking and going back to past life regressions or experiences or Akashic records. They're digging deep. They're trying to break this generational trauma. And so Shawnee is going, and we're going to talk about her baby, because I love that baby. That baby should have her own commercial.
I know.
So let's welcome her to the Edge Brains, Shawnee Chambers.
Hello, everybody. And thank you. Thank you so much, April. I'm so excited to be here. I just love your energy. I just love what you do.
Thank you. I love you too. Thank you so much. You are a very layered young woman. And you had a lot of life experience. So take us back a little bit. Take us back through your childhood, your adolescence, and then bring us forward to where you are today.
Yeah, so I was quite a troubled young child. You know, if I'd gone to a psychologist these days, I would have ended up with a whole heap of labels, like ADD and probably bipolar and God knows what else. But yeah, I was really, really unhappy as a child. And I was actually asking my mum, you know, telling my mum that I wanted to die and asking her how different ways I could, you know, because I wanted to swallow my tongue, thinking that's how old people died. So, you know, I was having these really horrible conversations with my mum when I was about six years old. And that's when she realized, hang on a minute, there's something going on here. And so I started seeing psychologists. I think I was about 8 years old by the time I started seeing them. And luckily, those psychologists were pretty good. They put me down as having, oh, you know, extremely high IQ, hyperactive, take her off sugar, you know, a bit of social issues. Let's see if we can, you know, gave me a few tools to work with. However, that didn't really quite cut it for me. There was just a lot of self-hatred, a lot of self-loathing. I came into this world carrying a lot of weight, a lot of burden from the generations and also past life traumas and stuff like that. And I just did not want to be here again. Wow. You know, so by the time
that's
I was
really trying, you know, that's trying for a parent to even hear that your child is in that headspace and knows what that is.
Yeah. I think about it now, and I'm actually treating, you know, young girls. Like, I treated two last week. One was, I think, 11 and the other one was 15. Oh, and they're self-harming or suicidal. And I'm like, God. And that was me. And I just find it really hard to relate to it now, just going, how do the kids get like this? But, you know, I know because I was there.
Yeah, and, you know, and the self-harming is, you know, is that whether, you know, they're cutting or they have eating disorder or body dysmorphia or, you know, they're being bullied. It's just so much.
Yeah.
Before you continue, how do you even identify, well, I know how you identify, but how do they relate to you? How do you get them to open up to you, to trust you to even have a conversation? Because those are a lot of things they don't want to talk about.
The kids?
Yeah.
The younger ones?
Yeah.
I make it fun. I make it fun. See, they think that they need to go to counselor, and this is how I work with a lot of clients. Depends on what I'm doing with them, different strokes for different modalities that I do, because I'm a kinesiologist as well. I'm not all like, yay, with some clients.
Yes, you are. But,
But I really make it fun, you know, and I explain to them that, you know, mental health is just the same as learning how to look after your physical health. Like, most people are born and they eat the food and they run around and they have like healthy bodies, whereas some people actually really need to learn how to eat the right foods and how to exercise. And it's the same with mental health. We need to learn how to look after our thoughts and how to shift our emotions so that, you know, we can handle life a little bit better. And the thing is that quite often they don't know what's actually wrong with them. It wasn't until like it was in my 30s that I started to actually discover what was really going on for me at that age, you know. So I actually really kind of relate to these kids because I was there myself, and I explained to them, because if you ask them what's wrong, quite often they'll say that they don't know.
Right. You know, they don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You don't have any life experience. You're basing upon peer pressure or what's been told to you by your parents, or, you know, whatever trauma that you've experienced. And a lot of these kids, you know, I'm glad there's someone out there like you that makes it fun and engaging, especially working with young women. They don't talk about it. They go into sexual promiscuity, premature pregnancies, drugs, alcohol, sex trafficking, internet trolls.
Yeah.
You know, that stupidness. So
just all that unwounded, all that unhealed wounds, you know, when people are in their wounds, they're in such a low vibration that they make bad choices and they project, and, you know, it's really a case of healing humanity on such a deep level.
It is. So bring us, fast forward us, take us to your awakening and your...
Well, I had my first one when I was 14. When I was 13, I was literally getting through each day with the belief that today doesn't matter, because tonight will be the night that I can finally take my life and get off this planet. And I lived in that space for quite a while, quite numb. But it was when I was 14 that I had my first awakening, where I had kinesiology for the first time, and in two sessions changed my entire life. Now, I had been seeing counselors, psychologists for years, you know, and the school counselor, I was seeing it two or three times a week, some weeks, didn't change anything. Whereas then I had kinesiology, changed everything in a couple of sessions. So then I was really good for most of my teenage years. And then in my early 20s, I hit another big plateau. I had a really soul destroying relationship that just really pulled me back into such a dark, dark place where I just couldn't handle being there again. And that's when I went, right, now's the time that I really need to learn the tools. I really need to learn, because I'd done little courses here and there. I'd always stayed with the natural therapies and healing and internal investigation. But that's when I went, right, I need to learn this like professionally. I need to learn this so that I live and breathe this, so that I never get myself back to this place. So it's been an ongoing journey. Like, still, I had a session on Sunday. I've got another one Thursday. Like, I still have healings like every week, sometimes a couple of times a week. Sometimes I'll miss a week, you know, but it's a constant journey, the healing, and it just keeps getting better and better. I'm going through another big awakening at the moment, where I am just completely changing my frequency around everything.
Well, I mean, your eyes are super bright. You're speaking with your eyes. I'm into body language. So there is really something, there's a spark that is ignited in you that is really going haywire right now. Well, let's talk a little bit about this haywire, because you was on one today. You was preaching, sister.
Yeah.
About duality and the great awakening and 5D reality. Now, you know, I was watching. I was like,
what? Yes.
Okay, you were on fire. And you look different then. Your face was serious. You were stern. You was like, you had the hands moving. It's like, I'm about to tell y'all something.
I know. I've been meaning to do that live for a while.
take us there. Take my brains there for a minute. Let them know what you were, you know, set them up for what you was putting down.
All right, cool. So basically, we're in a very interesting space of the evolution of humanity and of Mother Earth. So about 5-6 years ago, Mother Earth, her contract up until 5-6 years ago was to support duality, was to support light and shadow. So the human experience was to come to Earth. This playground was for our souls to experience emotion, and it was to experience duality. It was to experience both light and shadow. So we have the choice. The human race is one of the very, very few species, if not only species, that can facilitate both light and dark within ourselves. So, you know, like you've got the angels, you've got the demons, you've got everything's either light or dark, right? Except for humans, we can be either. So the whole human experience is actually to come here with free will to see where we want to go. Now, what happens when we get into our pain and we get into our wounding, we tend to choose more lower vibrational things, you know, and that keeps on hooking us back. That pain keeps on hooking us back into the dark, you know, or the shadow aspects of humanity, you know. So what actually happened 5 or 6 years ago, that Mother Earth released that contract. She no longer has to support duality. So the Earth is a living, breathing frequency and being, you know, and we're living on her. So we're very much a part of that frequency and change as well. So as that contract was removed, a lot of the dark grids of the Earth were also removed. So a lot of the darker energies are actually really scrambling, because as light workers, when we clear real yucky energies and demonic energies and all that kind of super woo-woo stuff, we would clear it. It would just go straight back to go. We'd clear it, it would come straight back again in another space in on the Earth, whereas that doesn't happen anymore. So the dark's really scrambled. So we're in the chaos space of all this dark stuff coming up. So, you know, everyone's going, oh, the Great Awakening is all about, you know, really, really waking up to what's going on. No, it's not actually about that at all. It's so far from that truth. You think of it like this, like, and there's so much light being downpoured on the Earth at the moment to help facilitate this change. And when you think of it like a beautiful, pristine lake, right, it's all nice and clear, you can see the bottom. When you have massive rain pours and storms, that water goes very murky, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're in the murky stage. Everything's actually coming up, but it's actually getting cleared out. So the more we focus on it, the more we keep ourselves locked into that frequency. The more we're focusing on the duality, the more we focus on the fight, whether we're pro, anti, whatever, we're focusing on the duality. We are keeping our frequency locked into that third dimension. So the third dimension is very much about duality. There's right, there's wrong, there's, you know, pain, suffering, and then there's love as well. And the fourth dimension is kind of like the bridge, and it's very much, you know, ruled by emotion, ruled by time. So it can actually take us up or it can pull us back down. So if we get into the fourth dimension and then we get angry at someone, we're going to go bang straight back into the third. If we get up into the fourth and we feel love and compassion for another human being, despite what they've done, we'll go up into the fifth dimension. There is no duality up there. There is no right or wrong, because what's actually going on up there is that we naturally choose God choices. And by God, like, I'm not religious in that way, you know, God meaning
source. I don't know why people do that. You don't have to justify whether you are or not, because we God fearing here, we fearing some God, Godness, whatever they want to call them. But people have to understand that there is a higher source. There is a higher calling. You didn't just come here abracadabra.
No. So my belief in God is more as in like the whole totality of love and source, you know, none of this constriction around it, right? So when we're up in that dimension, we naturally choose things that are good for us and things that are good for humanity. So there is no wrong, because we don't want that, you know, like when we're really up in that high frequency, if someone hurts us, we feel compassion for them that they must have been in a bad place to do that. When we're up in that high frequency, when we make a mistake, when we do wrong, we go, oh, wow, I shouldn't have done that. We learn and we move on. In 3D, we hold guilt, we hold shame, and we really lock ourselves into not being good enough.
Well, I'm so glad that we're ascending. Yeah.
We are. But not every, some people are already living in that new earth frequency. I very much am most of the time.
Me too.
But we do. We all drop back down into it. It's a case of just keep on bringing ourselves back up again.
It is. And it's an awareness. And it's a discipline.
Yes.
And it's self-care. You know, it's, you have to be conscious of it. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you know you're in a bad mood. Some people are like, okay, you know what? Give me a little space. I didn't wake up on the best side of the bed. Other people just pour their venom straight on you. They just bite down and just, you know. So it's a choice, and it's about being aware. So you are a trainer and a coach.
Yes.
Tell us what you train and coach on.
Okay, so I train practitioners. So I train other therapists in modalities that I have created myself. So I work both on my own and also with the incredible Emma Romano. If you don't know who she is, you need to start following her. She's amazing. She lives in Melbourne and we work very, very closely together, training practitioners. We've got our own thing and then we've got our thing that we do together. So we've been running retreats. We were running international retreats pre, you know, all this stuff happening. Whereas now we were just running them in Perth, and now we can't actually guarantee that the borders are going to be open for her to get over here. So we're actually taking all of our training online now, which is exciting. It means that anyone from all over the world can actually learn the tools that we teach. So what we do and the way that we work that is so different and so effective is that we really believe in multidimensional healing. And we really believe that, you know, you've got your conscious mind, that's only 5% of the brain. That's, you know, when you're having counseling, psychology, they're only working with the 5% that you're aware of. We work also with the unconscious mind, which is your subconscious, where all that programming is held, where all the belief systems are held, that kind of thing. We work with the energy body, which is like your aura, your chakras. Every single thought, feeling that you've had has got an energetic imprint in your system. You need to clear out the imprint as well. And then we work on a soul level. So we get people to tune into their higher self. So I'm not the one advising you on anything. I'm actually putting you into a trance state where your higher self downloads the wisdom. So everything comes through as an epiphany. It's really, really powerful work. And we also work on a cellular level, clearing through the DNA, because our cells are living beings. There's some studies that I'm looking into and training in at the moment where they talk of the higher being and the lower beings within us, and not lower beings as in bad, as in just this, that's the terminology for it. But our cells are the lower beings. Our cells have, and by lower, it's just lower consciousness. Where our higher consciousness is, you know, the part of us that's kind of meant to be in control. But the lower beings, which are our cells, are the ones that are holding all the imprints and the pain and the programming and stuff like that. So
it's like holding them like the Akashic records. Are you the Akashic records? Do you do that at all?
Oh, I'm looking into that. I think that's my next thing, because I study everything. It just keeps on jumping up at me.
Yeah, I've had some guests on my show that say that you can go into this place and this place will, and I'm not trying to call it mythical or magical, but it's a special space. And
it holds all the records,
you know, and that's what we have to do. We have to hold space for people, because time is an illusion.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's
really not real.
There's no such thing.
No, you know, and people don't get that. They think, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. They procrastinate. The next 15 seconds are not guaranteed. People die like that. And especially what's going on with this invisible devil, I call it, of COVID-19, you know, and what that is not ensuing on us is the uncertainty and the disbelief and the fear that we are imposing on ourselves. Let me ask you another question. You are a new mom.
Yeah.
And you have brought this ray of sunshine into the world.
Just amazing.
She's amazing. But as a parent and seeing the world as it is today, what are some of your concerns for her? And then I want to
hear. I have none.
You have none.
I have no concerns whatsoever. I'm excited. you know, she's chosen to be here. I was not with her father. Like I was, she was not planned, but she came through very strongly, very telepathic, saying that this is what's meant to, I had to let go of all my old belief systems. Like I wanted to meet my man and be married and, right, you know, right. Have like my picket fence and then start popping out children. She's like, no, I need to come in now. I need to be here. I'm like, okay. So, and she's a master manifester as well. You know, having her frequency with my frequency, we just click our fingers and what we need is right there. I have no concerns for her at all because she's got me mothering her. So I'm going to really teach her. And, you know, luckily her dad and I are on the same page about, you know, some of the major things moving forward. So I have no concerns. Like, she has definitely come in at a very interesting time, and I'm really hoping that we can speed up this evolutionary process, this, because what we are, we're moving into 5D, and the more of us that can actually start anchoring the light of the new earth, and she's another little light. So together we're anchoring the light for humanity to be able to move quicker through this chaos, because chaos precedes evolution. We're actually moving into a much bigger, better, beautiful time, but we've got to go through the turmoil first.
Oh, yeah, you got to get through the vortex.
Yeah, so I'm just going to keep her in touch.
You know what I think, too? You got to prove yourself worthy, Shani, because everybody ain't going to get there. Yes, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I know.
Okay? And it's, you know, I don't know, some people are not meant to. There's necessary evils in the world, too. There are necessary sacrifices, you know, and you find a person that is at the top of their game. Let's switch it up for a minute. They have no concerns. They have no problems. They've got money. They've got love, all of that. What do you say to that person about carrying that into the 5D? Because they already think they have it all. They don't think that there's anything else that they could ascend to or aspire for. How do you keep that person motivated? Does that make sense?
Well, maybe they're already living their best life. Maybe they've already got it. You know, like I know that I've gone through stages of my life where I've just been 100% positive and things have just always worked out and I haven't had challenge for a while. You know, but it's the universal law of humanity that we do have challenge. So just because someone's going through a really good time at the moment, let them win. Let them enjoy that, because you know what? They're anchoring in that higher frequency. Absolutely. And you know what? They're living their purposes as they're meant to. You know, like why change it if it's not broken? You know, but when they do have challenge, when they do have something, because they always, you know, the cat will die or, you know, the wife will leave or whatever happens, it will happen. We don't live this perfect existence our entire life. We might work hard for it, sure, and we might do the work and we might get to really enjoy that, but it's only a matter of time before something else happens and we need to overcome that challenge as well. So, you know, if people are already...
I'm glad that you brought that the reality, because I talk to folks and they think, okay, because they've created a vision board that there's not going to be any bumps in the road, or because they, you know, because they meditate every day, you know, but are you listening to that meditation? Because your meditation also provides you with challenges and options, mm-hmm. and, you know, downloads with responsibility that you need to be accountable for, and being accountable for your actions and owning it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Owning it, it liberates you. It liberates you, but lying and shucking and jiving and ducking and dodging and bobbing and weaving.
They just stay in that frequency then, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And it's a Debbie Downer, really. Yeah. So before we conclude, tell me a little bit about your retreats. When you do get them together, what can people expect?
Ah, massive, massive transformation. So we are very big believers that, you know, healers need to heal themselves. Not first, because you never finish healing, you know. So with our practitioners, we really take them through it. You know, a lot of the way that we teach things, and a lot of it's moving online now for anyone in the world who wants to join in our trainings, we really take people through it, and we pair you up and you go through it with each other as well as the stuff that we take people through, because, you know, like you can't really take other people through something that you haven't been through yourself. You know, you hold the foundation for their change. That's why I can see so many different people for so many different things. It's because my energy field holds the vibration of change and transformation. So if I hadn't gone through even half the stuff I've gone through, then I wouldn't be able to facilitate such big change in other people. So, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, how low you are, change can happen in an instant. It really, really, really does. And, you know, healing does not need to be long or painful or drawn out. It can happen in an instant, and it can be fun, and it can be enlightening. Holding the pain, that's what takes time. That's what hurts. Letting it go, that's the easy bit. But you have to have the right tools. And so many people out there don't have the right tools, or they're fluffing around seeing healers and therapists that don't know what they're doing, or do know what they're doing, but they just don't have as effective tools. So the process
And sometimes their energy is not in alignment.
Yeah, that too. There's a lot of incongruency. You know, I'm looking, God, I've got to laugh. I shouldn't, but it's, you know, it's come up, so why not? You know, I'm seeing all this incongruency in people, like these abundance coaches that are broke. I'm like, honey, you can't teach something you don't know. You know, and there's a lot of people that have kind of gotten into this line of work, but they're not doing the work themselves.
Well, and they don't really understand what it takes. You know, like I'll see like coaches that are helping in a particular area. And again, like you said, they're still trainees. They're still sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I ask and I beseech you, is that please do not take another person's life in the palm of your hands and just toss it around like marbles or balls or whatever, because they're depending on you. Shawnee is working with these young women, these young, tender minds that are already vulnerable, that are already in a place that they can be manipulated or influenced. And she's working with them to try to get them to have some tools and some resources as they go through life. They'll have something to draw back on. I totally get that. The same with adults. We still need an anchor. We still need someone. But make sure that that person is in alignment with your values. Don't just go with the woo-woo or the abracadabra, because what works for April is not going to work for Shawnee. Okay, but we can work together and try to find something harmonious. And I know that's what you're teaching at the Rise and Thrive Institute of Higher Learning. It is multi-layered, it's multi-tactile, and you also have some ways of clearing through NLP and natural health practitioners. So tell me a little bit about the natural health practitioners. When you say health, are you talking physical health as far as diet, sleep, hypnotherapy?
You got to have a holistic approach to things. Like even mental illness, is the majority of that's actually nutritional. You know, so there's all this study now that, you know, has proven that we don't have enough minerals in our soils to be able to feed our body what we need. If we don't have enough minerals, all illness is a result of mineral deficiency, right? I can't remember the exact amount, something ridiculous like 70 to 80% of mental illness, depression and anxiety is nutritional.
I heard that somewhere before too.
Yeah, when I did my kinesiology training, when we did nutritional, I can't remember the exact numbers. I'm not good with writing down facts like that. But, yeah, it is. It's hugely nutritional. I know that after having a baby, because they take all the minerals and nutrients out of your system, I was not coping. I got myself on a really good supplement that I've been on for the last 3 months now, and that is why I'm on fire. Before that, I actually had anxiety for the first time in my life. I've had a lot of trauma. I've had a lot of depression. I've never had anxiety, except for, actually, that's a lie, when I was learning how to public speak, that brought up anxiety for me. But that there was a reason for that anxiety. I was scared shitless of public speaking, you know. But the anxiety that I was starting to feel after giving birth, that was nutritional. And I had this horrible feeling of doom And like everyone's like, are you worried about what's happening in the world? I'm like, no, I don't care. Like we're fine, we're good. Like there's nothing wrong. But I had this horrible feeling, and it wasn't until I got on a really good supplement that remineralized me completely that just went away. Completely went away. And I had all my energy back and my hair's growing back and just all the things. So
you know, it takes a lot out of you. You know, life takes a lot out of you. It's draining. Yeah. So let me ask you, outside of the supplement, what do you do to cleanse yourself before you set off to work with a new client? You're taking on their anxiety, you're taking on their stress, you're taking on their pain, but you're not taking on their joy.
No, I'm not taking on anything. And this is a massive misconception. And so many people go, oh, you must find this work really draining. Like, why would I? Like, this is life-giving. This is great work, you know, because what I'm doing is I'm clearing the energy. I'm not taking it on. I'm transmuting it. So this is where a lot of people, and this is a very important message for a lot of the light workers out there, because it is a social construct. It's a social belief that an empath, I hate the word empath, I actually stay away from it, even though that kind of describes me a little bit. I use the word sensitive, because the social belief systems around empaths is that we just sponge everything up and take everything on. That's not helping anybody. That's not helping. We're the ones that are meant to be helping the world. We can't help the world when we're carrying everybody's shit.
Right.
You know, it's our job to learn how to transmute that. So, yeah, I love working with people. Whatever they've got going on, like I just hold space, you know. Like every now and again I'll feel like, especially when something first comes up, I'm like, oh, God, and I'll feel it and I'll step straight back out of it and I'll shift it. Even it became really apparent to me how good I am at this when my baby started teething, and she was always so happy, but then she was, you know, pooing like every hour, that really acidic stuff. So her poor bottom was just red raw and she was screaming in pain, trying to change her. And even my stepdad and mum were like, oh my God, how are you doing? Like, this is so traumatic watching this. And I'm like, it's not going to help her if I go into trauma around it. Right. I need to stay quiet in my space and be like, it's okay, bubby girl, it's okay, you know, because if I feel into her pain, if I feel into what's going on for her, it's going to lower my frequency. How am I going to be a good mom when I'm in a low frequency?
Right.
You know, and it's exactly the same with my clients. How can I help them if I'm meeting them in their shit? I'm like, oh, let's just go play in the shit together.
Right. Let me change your diaper.
yeah, you know. So, no, it's like I look after myself pretty well, you know, and I like to keep myself in a good headspace and stuff like that. Like I'm always working through my stuff. Like I'm not perfect. I have my challenges. I have my things come up. But because I'm working through them, then there's no kind of gap for their stuff to enter through. Like if it's the law of attraction, if I've got, and it actually happened when I was working through my own sexual trauma, I hadn't worked through it properly and I kept on attracting all these clients that were working through it. And I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel like it's not a clean boundary. Mm-hmm. And it's because I hadn't cleared through my own stuff. So I had to really deep dive into that to clear that so that I could hold the space better for people and not be affected by it.
Well, you're doing an amazing job. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to work with you. Who's that? Your neighbor?
Postman.
Oh,
it's a new book from Amazon, Dolores Cannon, the Three Waves of Volunteers.
Oh, wow. Have you written a book?
I am co-authoring at the moment. I actually haven't told anyone.
Tell me a little bit about that before we conclude. Tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll get all your contact information.
I was keeping it a secret, but I'll let everyone know for you. So I'm working with the beautiful Tracy Jewell. It is a self-care book for mamas. Oh, wow. And I'm writing a piece on co-parenting with grace.
That is so wonderful. We have a blended family. I have stepchildren, and it has just been such a blessing to get to that maturity stage.
Yeah.
where that you realize that it is not about you anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our thing just didn't work out, but I love you enough to set you free. I want you to be happy. I want you to be in a well-balanced space. So when you do introduce this other person into our child's life, that there is, you know, a level of understanding, that there's some boundaries, there's some respect, there's no chaos. And again, like you said, you know, your daughter's with her dad right now, and she just lights up. She can't wait to see him.
Yeah, she does. Her little face.
And it gives you a break, too. Because mothering, I don't care how much and how cute they are, girl, they can get on your damn nerves.
Non-stop.
You know, and you got to be happy and perky and laughing and playing and giggling. Sometimes you just don't feel it. So I'm glad that you have, you know, a co-parent chapter in the book that tells people how to be mature about this. It's not easy. Okay. But once you attract money, sex, that's it. Because the sex is the control, you know. And the money is the control. And once you get those two things, and that those aren't really important, and you look at the little tiny cute baby, and she is absolutely adorable. I'm telling you, you should put her in a baby diaper commercial. Send some of her videos to you know, these diaper companies or baby food or whatever while she's still young, because again, she is absolutely beautiful. So now back to the important stuff: how to get in contact with you, Shani.
The best way, honestly, would be just to stalk me on Facebook. I've nearly reached my capacity of friends. So you're probably better off sending me a private message as well as sending me a friend request. Send me a private message, say that you've seen this and that you'd like to connect, and I can add you on Facebook and you can follow in my journey. If I've run out of friend request spaces, you can still follow the journey.
You know, 'cause Facebook has really changed.
It has,
but you know what, you have to understand it's a business for him too. This is not just, you know, we're riding this pony for free. So I thank you, Mrs. Zuckerberg, for what you do provide. But again, they can follow you. Are you on Instagram? Are you on LinkedIn and Twitter?
I am. I haven't really done a lot there. You know, it's definitely my next thing. I'm just trying to get everything else sorted. I'm about to move house and taking all my trainings online. I'm writing a new program at the moment. But it is really my next thing, is to get a good VA just to kind of do all that for me. So I can just produce here on Facebook. That's easy. And then they can just send it everywhere else. I've also got two websites in the process of getting built, one for my business and one for my trainings and one for me. So I'm a little bit behind in the times at the moment.
But it's, again, it's ascending, it's an evolution. Yeah. And we don't just go straight up like this. It's a progression. We want to rise. Yeah. We want to rise. And you are doing a phenomenal job. And I want to thank you so much for being here on the Edge with Me and My Brains. And loving you and loving that baby. I wish I could hug her up. Tell her Auntie April loves her.
And I will.
Thank you so much for the work that you do and for holding light and space for others.
Thank you. And thank you so much for today. It's been so much fun.
You're amazing. All right, great. Get yourself together. We're trying to give it to you. We're trying to take you higher. Bye.